Okay, this is January 23rd, Monday, and the topic this month is Get Yourself to a Better State.
Good evening. There is a power for good in the universe, and you are part of that power. You are part of that good. And it is up to you to choose that for yourself. You can choose anything that you want. So why not get with the program and choose good in your life and see only good in your life? You already know that you are a god in the making. You already know that you are gods and goddesses. So now see good and see only good in your life. This thing, this power, this wisdom, this intelligence that we talk about, that we call God, only sees good. In the mind of God, there is no such thing as something bad. Remember in the Bible, when God created this, this, and this, he looked around and said, everything is good. And that's what you must look around in your life and say, everything is good. Parts of your life that you do not consider good right now, don't concentrate on those. Concentrate on the good things that are in your life. We have a tendency, because we live in this world, to always be looking for the things that are not going right instead of looking for the things that are going right. So look for those things. So the topic, as Andy just said, for the month is get to a better state. And that means get to a better state of consciousness, a higher state of consciousness. Learn to think God thoughts after it. Learn to see things that, and think things that are different from what you thought last year or last month or even this morning. You must keep raising your consciousness to a higher level. It's all done with your mind and it's all done with your thinking. With that said, would you read that and pass it to the next person?
At one with the presence within me, I tap into a higher consciousness.
At one with the presence within me, I tap into a higher consciousness.
At one with the presence within me, I tap into the higher consciousness.
At one with the presence within me, I tap into a higher consciousness.
And that's what we're trying to do with this presence that we call God, that we say is inside of us, or spirit, or whatever we say is in there. We're trying to tap into this higher consciousness. This higher consciousness, which is here, it's all around us, because of our small finite minds and because of conditioning, we keep the same thoughts going on and on and on. We form grooves in our mind and we cannot get out of that groove. It's just like a record. And you get your needle in that groove and it just stays there. You must jar it out into a different groove, into a different way of thinking. You cannot expect things to change unless you change your thinking. This is done with thinking. Remember, the motto of religious science is change your mind, change your life. It's done with the mind. This is all we're ever talking about is mind, and we're talking about your mind. And yes, we do live, move, and have our being in the mind of God. But we're using our individualized mind in this one mind of God. So in the mind of God, there's the higher consciousness. If you remember in the Bible, it says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions, meaning many states of consciousness. What state of consciousness do you want to be in? You want to be in a consciousness of lack and limitation? Or do you want to be in a consciousness of abundance and prosperity? That is the thoughts that you can change in your own thinking. So give up that conditioned thing that the world is always going to be conditioning you to think what it wants you to think. You have to step out from that and start thinking for yourself. And start with that idea that you are worthy, you are deserving, you're totally lovable, and that you matter. regardless of what the appearance on the outside is. You must say that to yourself every day. Every day, as many times during the day as you can. Otherwise, it will erode very quickly because the world's going to tell you that that is not true, that that is not so. We must learn to love ourselves, as Andy said earlier. He forgave himself for the thoughts that he was having, and we quickly forgive ourselves, and we move to a different state. As soon as we're able to forgive and move to a different state, the whole world looks different, and your personal world starts to look different. So when something's in front of you, and you're having difficulty with your thinking and so forth, the questions that you ask is it true, is it false, or I don't know. Your mind will always tell you that it's true. It's very rarely true, and it's very rarely false, but it's always you don't know. See, the mind wants to know everything. Your mind thinks that it has to know everything, that it has to know the answer to everything. You don't need to know the answer to everything. We're living in a mystery. How many people know about the mystery of life? When I say the mystery of life, how many people really know why we're here? You know, we can come up with all kinds of ideas, but it's really a mystery. We really don't know. But we have to, what's in front of us, we have to learn to enjoy, we have to learn to appreciate, we have to learn to just accept things the way they are at that moment. And there's an easy thing to remember. It's always at that moment. People say, oh, I'm mean, I'm horrible. At this moment, you are those things. You can change in the next moment, you say. But we think everything is in concrete and will never change. Our minds are very plastic. You can move them around. You can move anything around in there that you want. So when you're looking at the outside of life and these stories are going on inside of you, and it's only a story that you're telling yourself constantly of what's going on. You may think you're perceiving things out there. Remember, the eyes see nothing. The eyes see nothing. It's the mind that sees. It's always your mind that sees. So, your mind is telling you, oh, that's ugly, that's horrible, that's this, that's that. And you start to believe that. You have to correct your thinking. You have to correct your mind. Remember, Mary Baker Eddy, the founder of Christian Science, said you must argue with your mind like a lawyer before a judge. And you must always make sure that you win. You must win. You must not let your mind win. And that's what we do. We allow our minds to win all the time because we think we are our mind. And I said this from day one, and we always go back to that step number one in this teaching is you must realize that you are not your mind. You see? People know that they're not their body, but very few people can get it through their head that they're not their mind because the mind is very convincing. So when all that starts, you must say, oh, look at what's going on in the theater of my mind. This is just the theater in my mind, and I'm making this story. I am the producer, the star, the writer of this movie that I'm watching in my mind. And then you make a new movie for yourself to watch. If you went into one of these multi-theater complexes and there were 16 different movies to pick from, you pick the one that you want to see. You don't go in the one that you don't want to see. But in your mind, you go always into the one that you don't want to see. That's what happens. And years ago, at least 10 or 15 years ago, I used to tell people, your mind is like a bad neighborhood. Don't go in it alone. And yet you go in your mind alone all the time, and it does you in. It beats you up and chews you up and it spits you out. Do not go into your mind alone. It's a bad neighborhood to go into. All the unhappiness and frustration and the difficulties that are in life are caused by your mind. And it's caused by that part of mind, the me. This is happening to me. No, nothing is happening to you. Things are just happening. You must get the me out of the equation. That's the whole idea. Don't take anything that happens to you personally. It would have happened to anybody. Remember. And this is the one that I said that was very enlightening to me 30 some years ago when I read Self-Actualization by Emory Stewart. And then the biggest thing I got out of the book was, do not take anything your parents did to you personally. They would have done it to anybody. But yet we think, oh, they did it to us, there must be something wrong. There's nothing wrong with you whatsoever. There's nothing wrong with us. There's nothing wrong with any of us. What we do is we take things personally. Somebody says something and our mind goes to work on that and we say, oh, look at that. And then we convince ourselves that that is true. When you know it is not true. So, ask yourself those three questions. Is it true? Is it false? Or I don't know. And most of the time it's going to come out, I don't know. You don't know. Your mind wants to tell you that you know. You do not know. So, you instantly forgive yourself and you forgive all the other people around you and you don't listen to all that horrible talk that people want to say to you or tell you, oh, you'll never make it, you'll never do this. I just read recently where they told Brad Pitt that he would never be an actor. Now, if he would have believed that, you see, he wouldn't be an actor today. And this happens constantly. The world is telling somebody, you're no good, you can't do that, you can't do this. And those people go out and prove that wrong. When people say to you, you can't do something, it's usually because they can't. People don't like you to succeed, usually, because then it makes them look bad. That's a horrible thing to say, yes. If you succeed in life, people say, oh, don't try that, because they're afraid to try it. And if you try, then you succeed, then it makes them look bad. You see? So don't worry. What other people think about you is none of your business. Let them think anything they want to think about you. You think good thoughts about yourself. You hold yourself in the highest of esteem. You tell yourself how wonderful you are. You don't need that from anybody else. People spend all their life trying to get appreciation from somebody else. Oh, I wish that person would appreciate me. That person is not going to appreciate you. Give that up. It's like people who want somebody to love them, and they want a particular person to love them. As Scott Peck said in Roads Less Traveled, it'll come to me. Scott Peck in Roads Less Traveled said, do not look for love where it is unattainable. And we're constantly looking for love where it is not attainable. People fall in love with actors on the screen. They fall in love with actors on the screen. That person doesn't even know that you exist. Now you ruin your whole life and there are people there in your vicinity that want to love you. There's always people who want to love you. Why do you want to be around people that don't want you around or don't want to love you. But people do this constantly. That's looking for love in all the wrong places. Don't do that to yourself. If it doesn't work, you know, if that person doesn't like you, forget it. You know, you cannot make anyone love you. You cannot make anyone love you, like you, or appreciate you. It either is there or it is not there. And you know darn well you may set out in that direction. You give this person gifts. You shower them with gifts. You take them here. You do all kinds of things for them. If they don't like it, doesn't change their mind about you. Doesn't change their mind about you whatsoever. You have to know in your own mind that you are a magnificent human being. And you have to appreciate your own self. I have many clients that come to me and they complain constantly. My boss does not appreciate me. Since when does a boss have to appreciate you? Boss doesn't have to appreciate you. Appreciate yourself. Where do we get this idea? Well, I work for him and this, that, and the other thing. Doesn't matter. Do your job. And shut up about that. Find appreciation someplace else. It's not going to happen. Do not take this stuff personally, people. Don't let that little me inside of you get all hurt and upset. Move to a higher state of consciousness. Move up in your thinking where you are able to think God thoughts after it. Now, how do we do that? Well, we start to think, well, how would God approach this? What would God do about this? For one thing, God would forgive right away. God wouldn't see any of the stuff that we see. So you have to say, oh, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And then you go on about your life. If you waste your life seeking love and appreciation and all this other stuff that the world tells you that you desperately need, you're going to have a very sad life. A very sad life. And I know tons of people that are still having a sad life because they think that they have to get something outside of themselves. Nothing on the outside of life can add one iota to you. Only you can add that by realizing that that presence is within inside of you. This thing that we call God is not only everywhere present, it's inside of you. So go within. Go to that stillness within you. Calm yourself down and see how magnificent your life really is. And don't get all that world in there, all that world telling you, no, you need this, 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 and this, and all the other stuff that's going on. You do not need it. What you need is to appreciate yourself and to love yourself and to realize that you're doing the very best you know how to do at this present moment. And you're going to change. You come to this class because you want change, because there's something not quite working in your life. You could go on through life without ever coming to one of these classes. And you could live your life, and it may be a great life and so forth. But we want you to have a magnificent life. A magnificent life. You see, when Jesus said, I've come, that you might have life and have it more abundantly, he did not mean more money, shopping malls, and all that stuff. He wanted you to have life more abundantly, meaning appreciate the life that you have, appreciate yourself, and appreciate all the life that is around you. See the abundance of everything around you. And that's how you build a prosperity consciousness. That's how you move up in consciousness. And you're not going to learn that from the world. You have to make up your mind to think differently, to think from a higher state of consciousness. And your mind will fight you on that. Because the one thing that my mind, when I start that, my mind immediately says, who the hell do you think you are? Who the hell do you think you are? Now, I get that from also, that's a parental voice. My father used to always say that to me. You know, do you think you're better than other people? When I was younger, I wanted to say yes, but I knew if I had said yes, it would knock me through a wall, so I didn't say yes. I was smart enough not to do that. But it's true. You have to think for yourself, and you have to change your own mind about your life or about this life that you're living and say, oh, my goodness, I'm having a wonderful time here. And then move up and don't be in all this little petty gossips and all the little stuff that's going on. That's very fun and so forth. But it's not raising your consciousness in any way. So we want to raise that consciousness. And you do that by not fighting what is in front of you. By not anticipating and expecting things to be different than what's in front of you. What is in front of you is what's in front of you. You see? Now, it's not going to stay in front of you, you know. Everything that comes into existence to go out of existence. Comes into existence to go out of existence. In the Bible, it says, resist not evil. That means stop resisting all that stuff. Because what you resist persists. Give it up. Say, oh, that's the way it is at this moment. And let that go. Let that go. So this whole idea of moving up in consciousness and all is this idea to get out of the old grooves that you have. You have made grooves in your thinking, and it's repetitive. And you keep thinking the same thought over and over, and the other thoughts that you're having are conditioned thoughts. You are conditioned to think the way you think from past experience, from your parents, from your schooling, and from the world. And you have to be able to separate all that and say, ah, I can think differently. I can think differently than that. And I can move up in consciousness. And I can learn to think God thoughts after it. And then you will change, and the world around you will change. This world is not going to change if we keep thinking the same thought over and over and over. And what are some of the thoughts that we think? I hear it all the time. Well, we'll always have war. We've always had war. We'll always have war. That's a conditioned thought. It's a repetitive thought. There is no reason in the world why we can't all get along. And we must learn to do that. We must move up in consciousness until we see the world in absolute harmony. The way this thing called God sees it. A world in harmony. It's so blatant, and this thing that which we call race mind, and the world out there, it's hidden everywhere. I was helping a friend of mine learn lines for a play called The Daughters. She's playing the mother. And her line is, I just have to remember that the reason we were put here is to suffer. And then when we die, God has a big surprise for us. Now, is that not the most ridiculous thing? Absolutely, the most ridiculous thing you ever heard. Now, that's written. It's a play. Millions of people are going to hear that. And they're not going to even bat an eye. Some of them are going to nod and say, oh, yes, she's right. We're here to suffer. We're here to suffer. That's conditioning. That's brainwashing. We have been conditioned. We have been brainwashed. So when you have to be able to become a witness to these things and correct them in your own mind. Now, I'm not going to start picketing the playwright or the theater where that play is. But you have to see that for yourself. When you're reading the newspaper, when you're reading a book or something, when these ideas come up from somebody else, that absolutely is diametrically opposed to what you believe, you have to correct it in your own thinking and say, well, that man's full of it. I'm not listening to him. That's his idea. It's not my idea of what's going on in the world. My world is wonderful. Remember I told you when people come up to me and complain and do this, that, and the other thing, I just say to them, well, I'm so glad I don't live in your universe. I live in a universe of my own making. And you may call it fantasy, you may call it anything you want. I happen to love it. The way I love the way I live, you know. Now, every once in a while, my mind will say, Dallas, you're not being very realistic here. I don't listen to that part of my mind, I say to it. Go back to the nothingness from whence you came. You've never brought me any good news. You'll never bring me any good news. So why are you throwing this up in my face now? Let me live my life the way I want to live it. You see, I know perfectly well I don't live my life the way most people do. I certainly don't live my life the way people in my family live their lives. So hence, I know that I'm different. But I've known that forever. Now, they love to point that out to me. You know how different you are. Can't you be like everybody else? Which was another one of the parental voices in my head for years. My father always would say, Dallas, can't you be like everybody else? Well, no, I can't because I'm not everybody else. You don't want to be everybody else. You can't say that you're an individualized expression of this thing called God and then want to be like everybody else. Then what? You see, you can't do that to yourself. You have to realize that you're the only person that is ever going to be like you. There has never been anyone like you before, and there'll never be anyone like you again. You are one of a kind. You are one of a kind. You have traits from your family. You have traits from the society you grew up, from the culture and all that. But that does not make you like everybody else. The world wants you to be like everybody else. The world wants things to be homogenized. And you see that constantly. And it's very blatant. And it's getting more so and more so. What do I mean by some of that? If you go to Old Town Pasadena, you will find a J. Crew. You will find a Pottery Barn. You will find that other one, Pottery Barn. What's the other one that's their competitor? You'll find them there. Yeah, Crate and Barrel. Thank you, Rose. You could be in Peoria, Illinois. They have the exact same thing. Now, the funniest thing is, not only do they have the exact same thing, they're in the exact same location. Right across the street from Pottery Barn is Crate and Barrel. You see? Because the world wants everything the same. They want everything the same. When I grew up and Rose, and maybe you younger people will remember this, every major city had its signature department store. Every major city had its signature department store. There are no signature department stores left. Bullock's was here. It's closed. We had one called Pomeroy's in Harrisburg. It's closed. And you could tell the buyers were all different. Now we have Federated, who owns most of the stores, and they buy the same stuff for every store. So it doesn't matter. When I lived in New York City, Bloomingdale's was a wonderful individualized store. Bloomingdale's is no longer an individualized store because it belongs to Macy's, and Macy's belongs to Federated. So it's homogenized. The world is trying to do that. It's trying to homogenize everybody. You don't want that to happen to you. Or maybe you do want it to happen to you. I don't want that to happen to me because it takes the individualized or the individual out of the picture. You're an individual. Start thinking like an individual. You know, I say in this class, you may take anything I say, change it any way you want, but whatever you do, don't go out and say, well, Dallas said this, this, and this. You see, would you take it and make it yours and change it to you? Who wants to hear what I have to say outside this class? No one. You make it your own. You have to make your life your own. You have to make your own thought your own. I knew a young man who was a French teacher at a very prestigious school in Georgia. And we used to go to dinner parties at his home. And he was so eloquent. And he would just impress people with this. Oh, he knew all about politics. He knew all about all this stuff. People said, isn't he smart? Well, he wasn't smart. He had read Newsweek verbatim. And he just regurgitated all the stuff that he read. He didn't have an original thought in his head. Not an original thought in his head. You have to learn to think for yourself. That's what this teaching is all about. This teaching does not teach you what to think. It teaches you how to think. How to use that mind of yours. How many people remember in the Bible that it says the gift has already been given? The gift is your mind. Everything is in there. Everything that you need for a successful life is in your mind, is in your thinking. When we're talking or when I'm talking, I'm always talking about mind. I'm either talking about the individualized mind that I have, but it's the mind of God that we're living, moving, and having our being in. So we want to learn to use that to see and do things differently. You see, otherwise, we'll become homogenized and everyone will be the same and everyone will be doing the goose step again. You cannot be brainwashed into these things. Control your thinking and learn to think for yourself. What do you want yourself to be? How do you want yourself to think? I have, I think I have it with me, yes, I do. I found this in a book that I was reading, or had read, and picked up again. And I may have given you this before, but I'll give it to you again. I know that the divine spirit of God is within me. And this spirit draws out of me the best in me. And also draws the best to me. I'm almost sure that this is an Ernest Holmes thing, because the idea that it draws out the best in me and also draws the best to me sounds so much like Ernest Holmes. What are you drawing to yourself? What are you drawing to yourself? What are you allowing in your life? Now, how do you draw something into your life? With your thinking, with your words, with your vocabulary. That's how you draw things to you. If you see nothing but lack and limitations, you think you're going to be able to draw abundance and prosperity into your life? No way. You must listen to what you are talking. How many times have I said, you must learn to change your vocabulary. You must learn to use words that you really don't use all the time, like magnificent. That's magnificent. What splendor. Use new words to spur new thoughts so that you're drawing to you what you want. I have the power to realize my heart's desire and I believe in my own ability to succeed. You must believe in your own ability to succeed. I have the power to realize my heart's desire, and I believe in my own ability to succeed. That's a wonderful statement. It's a wonderful affirmation to do. You have the ability within you, so why not draw it to you? And you draw it to you by changing your words, by changing your vocabulary, and then bring it to you. You see, we allow things to come to us because we don't notice what's going on. You must start to notice. The word notice, by the way, is just another word for becoming aware or becoming enlightened. You know, we use this word enlightened and we think only a Buddha can become enlightened or only a real heavy spiritual person can become enlightened. They only notice what's going on. It's the word notice. So notice what you are doing to yourself. Notice what's going on in your life. Earlier, Andy said about wanting to act, that he acted in something that he did not want to do. What did he do? He noticed that that was uncomfortable for him. Now, he may not have said, no, I'm not going to do it, because of peer pressure, probably, and because he didn't want to offend people, and because Andy, you know, suffers from the good boy syndrome. But he noticed. He noticed. And when you notice, you become enlightened. And when you notice, you don't do it again. The next time it comes up, you say, oh, I remember this, I'm noticing. I'm taking note here, and I'm not going to do this to myself again. You see? You're not going to do it to yourself again. So give up that idea that you have to be, you know, spend hundreds of years studying, that you have to be very spiritual, and that only a few people can become enlightened. We can all become enlightened just by noticing what's going on, by noticing what your mind is doing to you, by noticing what's going on around you. That's all that means. And when you're able to notice, you can then move up in consciousness. You can go to a better state of consciousness. And when you go to a better state of consciousness, you feel good about yourself. When Andy was able to notice, when he was able to go forgive himself, he moved to a better state of consciousness. See? So. And it'll happen quicker and quicker and quicker. How many times have you mauled over some problem or some situation for days? For days. Finally, it left you. You're safe. Now what you have to do is do it quicker. Do it quicker. They once asked a great Buddha. They said, Master, nothing ever seems to affect you. He looked at him and said, everything affects me. I just correct it quicker than you do. Everything's going to affect you. You have to learn to correct it. Something affects you and you have to mull over it. You think, oh, boy, this is so important. I have to mull over it for 3 days. You know? Don't mull over it. Change your mind right away. Move up to a higher state of consciousness. It's called noticing. And adjusting very quickly to it. It will save you a great deal of turmoil in your life. But we're not taught this stuff. And this is very simple. In fact, I think I started out this month saying, once again, I think it was on one of the treatment things I handed out, you have to make this teaching simple. It's very simple. God is very simple. You know, Albert Einstein worked all his life on a project called the unification equation, where he was trying to come up with an equation that would unify everything. And he said, when we find it, we'll recognize that it's very simple. We are trying to make everything so complicated that we don't find the answer to it. See, we think because it's our intellect and it's that little me wants to be big again, you know. As my mother used to say, do you want to be the big I am? You see. No. That's, let that stuff go. All right. I have some cards. Well, they're not cards. I ran out of cards. Ah! When you become aware of silence, immediately there is that state of inner, still alertness. In silence, you become alert to something. You are present, and you have to be still, and you have to hear the silence in order to be present. Why are most people not present today? Well, because of their mind, number one, is running rampant all the time. But you're too busy with cell phones, with computers, with telephones, with television, with video games. How many people sit down and just be still? You can't hear that still small voice within you unless you quiet yourself. Yeah, and you don't have to sit there all day. Give yourself 3 seconds if you want. And then it'll keep building until it becomes pleasurable. Most people cannot stand the silence. They cannot stand to be alone. And they cannot stand their own thinking. That's why they're always on the telephone. That's why they're texting. That's why they're constant. You can't do it to yourself. When you become aware of silence, immediately there is that state of inner still alertness. You are present. You have stepped out of thousands of years of collective human conditioning. You have stepped out of thousands of years of human conditioning by being still one moment and starting to think for yourself instead of letting the world do all your thinking for you. Remember, you are in this world. You are not of this world. So be in this world. Don't be of the world. And most people are of the world because they believe everything that comes down the pike. And they're never still. You must be still. Learn to still your thinking. And you learn to do that by just practicing. By just practicing and say, look at all these people. I have people in my neighborhood that have children. The whole time they're walking that child in the cart or whatever that thing's called, they're on their cell phone. They're talking. They're not present with the child. I have people who walk their dogs. They're on the cell phone. Or they have those things in their ears, whatever that is. I just love it. You go out and you think, oh, you're going to talk to somebody, meet somebody on the street. You can't talk to anyone on the street anymore. They're listening to something else. What the hell are they out in the street for? They might as well be home. You know, you have to get rid of some of this. Technology is wonderful. I'm not putting technology down. Thank God for technology. That's the mind of God at work. But you have to use it with wisdom. You have to use it with wisdom. You can go through your whole life avoiding life. That's what all that stuff is for. What do you think the world's holding up in front of you? It's always holding up a bauble of some sort or other to take your attention away from yourself. So that you don't realize how absolutely magnificent you are. You see? That's what you want to do. So start that day always with, I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter. Do that for yourself. Your innermost sense of self, of who you are, is inseparable from stillness. See, you are the stillness. You don't know that. See, and what is the stillness? The stillness is God. You are God. You are the stillness itself. This is the I am that is deeper than name and form. See, you have to know that you're more than form. We have to know that you're more than your name. If you run around thinking you're Scott and I run around thinking I'm Dallas all the time, that's a very small percent of who you are. Very small percent of who you are. Move up in consciousness. Get to a better state of consciousness. See yourself as the creative force. See yourself as God. Dare yourself to have that thought. A lightning bolt will not come down out of the sky and get you. No, it won't. You may be thrown out of a few places, but a lightning bolt's not going to get you. When you lose touch with inner stillness, you lose touch with yourself. When you lose touch with inner stillness, you lose touch with yourself. When you lose touch with yourself, you lose yourself in the world. When you lose touch with yourself, you lose yourself in the world. You do not want to lose yourself in this world. It's a wonderful thing, but you cannot take it. You cannot say that it is the end all be all. So learn to be in this world, but not of this world. Not of this world. You're of a completely different thing. Completely different than that. Learn to think God thoughts after it. Learn to move yourself up in consciousness. Learn to see things from a different perspective. You know, the world teaches that there is only right or wrong or yes and no. But there's always a third way, and that third way is always a God way. Because God sees things differently. And that's when, here again, when I say this thing, God, you know perfectly well that it's an intelligence, it's an energy. It's a wisdom that's out there. It is not a human being. I saw the most horrible thing on television called Christian Mingles. It's a dating service for Christians. And their slogan is, let God pick the right person for you. God is not in the dating service. God is not somewhere with a big book saying, I think Henry should go with Jane, and Jane, and this should go with this, and this should do. That is not what this thing is about. Christian mingles, yes. I like to mingle them. Yes. And they think that God is picking that. You are doing the picking. We have what's called free will. We have what's called free will. Many people do not understand that because they say the will of God. That's the will of God. God always wanted him to be a doctor. Well, I don't think so. God doesn't even know what a doctor is. The will of God for you is good and only good. That's what God wants for you. Good and only good. And when you move up in consciousness, when you get to a better state in consciousness, you will start to see that. You will start to feel that. And you will draw that stuff to you. Draw it to you. What is the greatest tool we have in our toolbox?
Imagination
is the greatest tool that you have been given. It is the gift. So when I am sitting here saying to you, draw things to you, let your imagination see what you want. See it out there and start to draw it to you. You must use your mind. You must use your imagination. And it will draw itself to you. It will do that. That's what this teaching is about. This teaching is about mind. It's about the power of your mind. Not the power of God's mind. Yes, we're talking about God's mind, but we're talking about our mind. It's learning to use this wonderful gift correctly so that you can bring into your life what you want, so that you can manifest what you want. And when you're not getting what you want in life, it's because your God is too small. So you must kick that God out and get a bigger God. You see, you must let God, you must give God bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and you must use this mind, this thinking, and this imagination to draw into your life what you want. Visualize that. Open your arms. How many times do you hear, I'm ready to receive? You hear people say, oh, yes, and I receive this now. Well, have you opened your arms to receive it? Have you opened your mind to receive these things? You see, you have to... how big... Can I get out there? Can I get this? Can I take that? Yes, you can have it all. You can have it all. You can have it all. This and more. Always this and more. So open yourself to that. Learn to think correctly. Move up in consciousness. Move to a better state in consciousness. Learn to notice what is going on in your life, in your mind, and in your conversations, in your vocabulary. What kind of words are you using? Words structure thought. And thought structures reality. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.